Daf Nun Alf. Today's learning is sponsored by the Felder family in honor of parents, children, and grandchildren, by the Shomans for Shlomo, for Pinchas Ben Tova, and anonymously Lila Nishmas Yitzhak Yosef Ben Aryeh Leib. So today's Daf again Nun Alf, in the bottom of Nun Amin Beis. We were talking yesterday about this machlokas, whether Iker Shir Bikli or Iker Shir Bipeh. So Gemara now is continuing with this conversation. Amir Rapapa, Kitanai, it's really a machlokas Tanai found in this Braisa. A Braisa that appears in Masechus Erchon as well. It says, Avdei Kohanim Hayu Divrei Rabbi Meir. Who were the ones playing the instruments? It was Avadim. The Avadim of the Kohanim were the ones playing the instruments. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishpachas Beis HaPagarim, Mishpachas Beis Tziparia, and Ma'amum, which is all different types of family names, where they're from. Hayu Shayu Masin Lakuna. They were Yisraelim from very prestigious families with great yichas. And these families would marry into the Kuna. We know it wasn't easy to marry into a Kohen's family, but these were Yisraelim that were playing the instruments. And comes along now, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Omer, Levim, how you know, the Levim were playing the instruments. So was it, were the Avadim, were the Yisraelim, or were it Levim? So the Gemara explains, what's the machlokas? My lab, behakim mifli. They're not arguing about the following. Da'man, da'amar, Avadim, how you, the one who felt that the Avadim were the ones playing the instruments, kesavar ikir shira bipeh. Because the primary way to fulfill the mitzvah of shir is by singing. The instruments were very much secondary, and therefore Avadim could do this. It wasn't an avoda. A non-Jew could do this, and every Kanani could do this. Man damar levim hayu, kesavar ikir shira bikli. The one who felt that the levim were playing the instruments, because the primary way to perform the mitzvah of shir is through instruments. So you have to have a levi play the instruments. So that's the machlokas levim versus Avadim is going to indicate whether it was the ikir shir bipeh or ikir shir bikli. So the Gemara said, okay, what about the third sheet, the middle sheet, the Rabbi Yossi? The Tisbara, does this make sense? Rabbi Yossi, my kasavar, what's Rabbi Yossi hold? I kasavar ikashira bipeh, that the primary way to get the shira is through singing. So then I feel avadim nami, even avadim should be able to play the instruments. Why does he say only these families? And I kasavar ikashira bikli, so if it was some type of avoda, so levim in Yisraelim lo. Levim had the responsibility to sing the shir or to play the instruments, not the Yisraelim, but the ikar shir was kli, that's Levim's job, not Yisraelim. How could these families who are Yisraelim play the instruments? So Gemara says, you're right, this is not really the machlokas. Ella, everybody holds the chuli alma ikar shira bipeh. By singing, that Levim sang the songs, that was the way they fulfilled the mitzvah of shira. So what's the machlokas? Who played the instruments? The instruments were very secondary. Uvaha kamiflagi, the marisavar hachi havamaisa, umarisavar hachi havamaisa. There's really no real big deal who plays the instruments. So there's machlokas. What happened? There's a machlokas in the Metzias where Levim playing the songs, where Yisraelim playing the songs, where the Avadim playing the songs, and there's no fundamental machlokas here at all. So Gemara says, nope, but still in the end of the day, Lamai Nafkamina, what is the Nafkamina? So this mice happen this way, mice happen that way. Who cares? Why are we discussing this? Is if it just Mai the Hava Hava? There must be Nafkamina. And so Gemara says, the Nafkamina is as follows. If a person had they had seen a certain individual who played the instrument, what could you assume about that person? Would you assume he has yichas and you could marry into the Kohen's family? Would you assume he's a levi, he could eat ma'isa rishon? Or would you assume, no, he has no yichas? So man damar avadim hayu, the one who felt that the avadim were the ones playing the instruments. So if a person saw that Reuven, let's say, was playing an instrument, Kasaver ein malin meduchen liyuchsin v'lalamaiser. Oh, I saw him playing in the Beis Hamikdash. We would say, I don't care, because Avadim could play in the Beis Hamikdash the instruments, and you can't bring me a ride that he is yichus and he could eat maaser rishon. The man the damar Yisrael hayu, the one who held, Rabbi Yossi who held that the families of Yisraelim were born playing instruments, kasaver malin meduchen liyuchsin. If you have a person testify that so and so played instruments, you could say, oh, he is good yichas, he can marry into Mishpachas Kohen. But we can't assume based on the testimony that he could eat Maiserishon because only Yisraelim played him. And finally, Man Damar Levim Hayu, the one who said it was the families of Levim who played the instruments, Kesavar Malin Miduchin Bein Liyuchsin Bein Levim Maiser. A person saw that Reuven, who was playing instrument, you could assume that not only does he have yichas, but he could also assume you could give him Maiserishon because they felt that only Levim were the ones playing the instrument. So there wasn't really a requirement who played. Anyone could really play. The question was, who did they allow to play? And then from there, what you could allow, what halachas could be extrapolated from one being observed playing the instruments in the base of Migdash. So Gemara now says, Vayter, that Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar, so we had yesterday a machlokas that Rav Yosef understood. Remember we had the machlokas whether or not the chalul could be docha Shabbos and Yantif, or not docha Shabbos and Yom Tov. So yesterday we had Shitas Rav Yossi who said that whole machlokas is by a regular carbon. Shear by carbon is the are the instruments docha. When it came to Simchas Beis Shoever, Rav Yosef said it's definitely not Docha Shabbos. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah says the opposite. Not the opposite, Rabbi Yirmiyah says differently. Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'aba Amar, no, the Machlokas is Bashir Shol Shoeva. The whole debate of the Brayso on yesterday's daf was whether or not the instruments will be Docha for Simchas Beis Shoeva. The Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda Savar, Simcha Yaseira Nami Docha Shabbos. You would play the instruments to celebrate the Simchas Beis Shoeva on Shabbos. Rabbanan Savre, Simcha Yaseira, Eino Docha Shabbos. Not true. It was just the Simcha Yaseira, it wouldn't be Docha. That machlokas being Docha Shabbos or not, was Legabe Simchas Beis Shoeva. Aval Bashir Shel Karbon, Divrei HaKol Avodi, Bedochas Shabbos. But the shear that accompanied the carbon tumid and so on, that would certainly be Docha Shabbos according to all opinions. So that's Rabbi Yirmiyah's understanding. Again, if Yosef says no, it was the opposite. He said that everyone agrees by Simchas Beis Shoeva, it's not Docha Shabbos. The machlokes is whether Shir Shel Karbon is Docha Shabbos. So now the Gemara is going to bring two tiyuftas against Rav Yosef's shita from yesterday's daf. So Gemara says Meisive. Shir Shel Shoeva, that's the topic here. Shir Shel Shoeva is Docha Shabbos, Divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim Omrim Af Yom Tov Eino Docha. So we see that this Braisa, which describes Machlokes, is talking about the Simchas Beis Shoeva. That supports Rabbi Yirmiyah's suggestion, and it's a tiyuf to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef felt that Simchas Beis Shoeva is not Docha according to both opinions, but this Braisa clearly states that they are debating even within the Simchas Beis Shoeva, tiyuf to Rav Yosef, tiyuf to. As Lema, let's say there's actually a second tiyuf to Rav Yosef. Why? Because this Braisa says that they only debate the Simchas Beis Shoeva. Lema, Bashir Shel Shoeva Hu Depligi, Aval Bashir Shel Karbon Divrei HaKol Docha Shabbos. The implication of Braisa is that they only argue by the Simchas Beis Shoeva, but they all agree it's Docha, it's a Karbon. So that's against Rav Yosef on both ends, because he said everyone agreed that he said that they argue about Shir Shel Karbon. Here it implies that they both agree that the Shir Shel Karbon is Docha. So the double Tiyufta, Lemia Teve Tiyufta, Rav Yosef Etarte. There's a double Tiyufta in Rav Yosef. So Amr Lachar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, no. This Bryce, although the Bryce only presents the Machlokas, Lagabe Simchas Beis Shoeva, he says, Pligi Bashir Shel Shoeva, V'hu Adin L'Karbon. The Bryce implies that they also argue by the Shir Shel Karbon. How come it didn't present that? How come it only focused on the Machlokas by Simchas Beis Shoeva? V'hai De Kemiflagi Bashir Shel Shoeva, simply L'Hodiacha Kocha De Rav Yosef Yehuda. This should show you how strong that opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is. The Afilu the Shoeva, which is only Simcha Beis Shoeva, is Nami Docha. But Einach Hanami of Yosef says that they argue about both cases. So the Gemara says, really, is that true? V'hokatani Zecha, is it really true that they argue both by the Simcha Beis Shoeva and by the Shir Shel Karbon? V'hokatani, don't we have that the Zecholil, Zecholil Shel Beis Shoeva, She'eino Docha Losa Shabbos, our Mishnah says in the beginning of the parak that the instruments, the chol, the flutes of the Beis Shoeva is not Docha Shabbos. So, Zev Deinu Docha, only this, it's not Docha Simchas Beis Shoeva, about the carbon Docha. But our Mishnah implies that the chol will be Docha for the carbon, Vashisha carbon, for regular carbon. So, now, money, who authored our Mishnah? Inema Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Hamar Shisha Shoeva Nami Docha? It can't be Rabbi Yosef Yehuda because he holds that the flutes of the Simchas Beis Shoeva is Docha Shabbos. So our Mishnah must be Rabbanan, Lav Rabbanan, and yet still, even the Rabbanan say that the Simchas Beis Shoeva, the instruments are not Docha for the Simchas Beis Shoeva, it implies it is Docha for the Shir Shel Karbon. So we see from here that everybody agrees that the Machlokets is about Simchas Beis Shoeva, and by the Shir Shel Karbon, everybody agrees it's Docha Shabbos Yantif. So we see it's a double Tiyufta, Tiyufta of Yosef Batarti Tiyufta, and therefore he's incorrect, and we paskin like the understanding of Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. So now the Gemara wants to know, Lamaisa, what is the Machlokas? This whole debate we've been discussing, whether the Iker Shir is Bepeh or it's Bekli, what exactly is that Machlokas? So Gemara says, my time of demand of our Iker Shir Bepeh. What's the reason behind the one who holds the Iker Shir is Bepeh? It says in the Pasuk, Dichsiv, in Divrei Yamim, Vayomir Chizkiyah L'halos Ha'ola L'mizbech, you should bring it up to Mizbech, the carbon Ola. When you begin the Seder of the Aola, you should begin to sing Shir Hashem. Through the blowing of the trumpets and through the various instruments of David and Melch. So we see from there the Iker Shir is Bekli with the instruments. In contrast to that, the Gemara says, my time and demand damar Iker Shir Bepeh. because the Chassid says in the pasuk, "Vayhi ke'echad lamachatitrim lamashorim lashmiya kol echad." Here, in a different context, it's talking about the shir is being accomplished by the mashorim, those who are singing the songs. Oh, you're going to ask me the question, but wait a second. It says here in the pasuk, it says chatzotos, no mechatzim. Isn't that a type of instrument? So if you look at Rashi says here the mechatzim lemashorim hachaloksiv kelim. It doesn't say instruments in this second pasuk. So we see the ikashir is bepeh. Ah, it says chatzotos. But chatzotos lav klishir. It's not a klishir. Trumpets make one sound, the straight sound. It doesn't go up and down. They don't high and low keys. It's all one straight sound. That's not called a klishir. Shein l'tkiyas ha'temidim v'amusafim. They're just blowing a sound, a straight sound. It reminds me, actually, there's Machlokas in the Taz, based on Machlokas, Rashi Tosfos and Maseches Rosh Hashanah, whether or not the concern of the, by instruments, you can't use instruments on Shabbos, because Shema Yitaka and Kli might fix it. So does that same takana exist by shofar, not by shofar? Now, we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos, because on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, because Shema Yavirani might carry it Dal Amos. But if it's a regular Shabbos, is there a Shema Yitaka and Kli? So some say yes, some say not. The Taz says, what do you mean? It's not a Kli, it's not a Kli Shir, a shofar. It's a one sound you make. That's not called a Kli Shir. Others think it is considered a Kli Shir, but it's clear from Rashi that Chatzotos are not considered Kli Shir. Seemingly a shofar should not be a violation of Kli Shir either. Either way, the Gemara says further. Let's finish off here. The Gemara says, so idach nami, the one who holds that the Ikka Shir is really bepeh, haksiv vayomer chizkiyah, doesn't it say a whole thing about the Kli Shir Shal David? This is how you read the pasuk. Heichel Shir Hashem, you should begin singing bepeh, the Ikka Shir is bepeh, ayde Kli David Melch Yisrael, libesum ikala. The instruments simply embellish it. They enhance the song, but the Ikka Shir is the guy singing the solo, the choir singing the music, the background noise, the instruments enhance it, but the Ikka Shir is really bepeh. Vidach Nami, the one who held that Ikka Shir is bekli, how do they take the other pasuk that implied that it was about the bepeh? Hoksiv vahikaecha la machatsim la moshorim, hachakamar. Mishorim dumi the machatsim. Those who are singing are similar to those who play the trumpets. Ma mechatzim bekli, ab mishorin bekli. So that's how, what it means, that there's a kli. Ein echanami, the chatzotzer are not a kli shir, but it's a kli. So just like chatzotzerotz is with a kli, so to mishorim is accomplished through a kli, and therefore they're able to explain each of the psukkim. So now let's take the next Mishnah, talking about the beautiful event that took place during Sukkot, the Simchas Beis Shoeva. So the Mishnah describes a long Mishnah going on to deep into the Amud Beis now. Mishalo ra Simchas Beis Shoeva, a person who never saw Simchas Beis Shoeva in his life, lo ra simcha miyamav, never saw a simcha in his life. Now the Ritva asks the question, what do you mean? Don't we have the great simcha of Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur? The Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tainis says the greatest simchas of the year were Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Now we have a Mishnah here in Sukkah that says Mishalo ra simcha Beis Shoeva, lo ra simcha miyamav. So the Ritva says no. The greatest Yom Tovim of the year of the calendar is Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. But it's talking about in the Beis HaMikdash, the greatest Simcha was the Simchas Beis Shoeva. That's how the Ritva explains this. Either way, the Mishnah goes on to explain, Matzah Yom Tov Rishon Shechag, when the first Yom Tov was over, Yardu Le'ezes Nashim, they went to the Ezes Nashim, U'mesaknen Sham Tikkun Gadol, they made a big fix, Menorah Shel Zov, these huge golden menorahs, Hayusham, Varbas, Falam Shel Zov, B'Roshem, they had four little, like, I don't know, pitchers of oil atop the top of each of these pillars of golden menorahs. V'arbas sulamos l'cholechad v'yechad. There were four ladders going up to each of these pitchers of oil. V'arba yiladim mipirchei kuna. Four of the young boys would climb the ladders. V'yadem kadim shomei v'esem lug. They would have a huge pitchers of oil. They'd schlep up the ladders with them. Shein matilin l'chol sefel v'sefel. They pour into each of these containers on the top of these menorahs. V'miblai mechnisei Kohanim, they'd use the worn-out pants of the Kohanim, u'ma'aminan mehen, and they make them into wicks. Hayu mafkin behen yahayu malikin, that they use for wicks. V'lohayu chatzir b'yushlaim she'enu me'ira me'or beis ha'she'eva. There is no courtyard of the Yushlaim that was not benefiting from the light. The lights were so strong, you could bake in your courtyard and have no problems finding any light. Now, just before you go via to the Mishnah, look at Rashi here. Rashi says, mivloi michnesei Kohanim me'aminan mehayu mafkin. The old belts of the Kohen they would use and turn them into wicks. Mafkin Karin Lasus Psius, they'd tear them into little wicks and use it to light. So they asked the question, how is this allowed? Don't we have a din? Now it came to the Big Day Kuna. After the Kohen Gadol finishes his Avodah Yom HaKippurim, it says, V'hnicham Sham. He has to leave it over there, requires Geniza. Meaning, even after the Big Day Kuna is used, it
it's subject to milah. So how come suddenly they could start tearing them apart, using them for the wicks of the Simchas Beis Shreva? Won't that be a violation of Me'ilah? So Tosis writes in the second parak of Masechah Shabbos, he gives a few answers. One answer he says is, this is the Simchas Beis Shreva, is for the tzorach of Nisach HaMayim, which is a tzorach carbon, just like the Big Day Kuna was for the tzorach of a carbon tzibur. So too, it's another use. It's not using it for my own personal use, it's being used for the carbon tzibur, and therefore it's completely allowed, not a violation of Me'ilah at all. Another answer he says is, this din of Hanicham Sham only applies to the Kohen Gadol. The special pasuk, the Kohen Gadol's Big Day Kuna is usher forever. But a Kohen Hediot, the moment it's worn out, no longer usable, it's not such subject to Milah, and that's why you're allowed to use it. And finally, this Fas Emes makes a suggestion that they were poed at first. They took the clothing, they redeemed the Kedusha from it, and then they were able to use it because now they became Chul. So back inside the Mishnah, the last line of the Amud here, the Mishnah says, Chasidim van Shemais ayum raktin befneim. Not just anyone could dance in the Simchas Beis Shreva. Only the great tzaddikim were able to dance in the Simchas Beis Shreva. They dance in front of them. Unclear what lefneim means. According to some, it means they dance in front of these menorahs. And then the top of Amud Beis, the Mishnah continues to say, Bavuko shel or should be adem. They had these big torches in their hands. And Rashi explains here, Zork, you know, some klape mala, makaple, know, some. They throw them in the air and juggle them around. V'yesh shebekin lasos kein ba'ar ba'avukos o b'shmona v'zork zu makaple zu v'zork zu makaple zu. They throw them, some have four, some even eight torches they had to juggle. Remember, we did this 7.5 years ago in the sukkah. It was going around. I think the Guinness Book of World Records says the most person could juggle maybe eight torches. I think that's the record. Makes sense. I don't know. But something's going around. I'm sure it'll go around today as well. If it goes around, send it my way. We'll see if I was right or not. But there's some Guinness, some world record based on these torches being juggled around. Furthermore, they'd throw around these torches. V'omrim lefneim divrei shiros v'tushbachos. They'd sing songs and praises to Hashem. And v'halivim b'kinoros. They'd play v'nevalim v'tzalasim v'chatzotos. They'd play v'klishir. All different types of instruments to enhance the simcha. Below mispar, without any count. There was endless amounts of instruments being played. Al chamesh esrei malos hayordos me'ezes Yisrael le'ezes nashim. There are 15 stairs from the Ezes Yisrael down to Ezes Nashim. Keneged chamisha asar shehamal shebetilim. 15 shehamalos is that David HaMelech said. 15 steps connected those shemals. Shalem levim omdim beklishir. That's where levim would stand during the Simchas Beis Shreva playing their instruments. V'omim shir, they would sing a song. V'om l'shnei kohanim b'shar ha'elyon. There are two kohanim standing on the upper gate. Sheyorid me'ezes Yisrael le'ezes nashim. V'shnei chatzotos b'yodem. They had two trumpets in hand. Kara ha'gever, the gever, the one in charge, would call out to them, Tiku v'hiru v'tiku. So they'd blow the shofar. And then Higila Mala Asiris, then they'd walk up the steps, the one carrying the water. This has been during the time of drawing the water. They drew the water, so now they walk up 10 steps, and then again, Tikku, they blow the shofar, the trumpets yet another time. Higila Azar finally walked up the steps. They're in the Ezes Yisrael now. Tikku, they blew the trumpets yet a third time. Hayutokin Vaholchen Achim Megin L'Shahar Yotzim Mizrach. They then continued to blow the trumpets until they reached the gate in the east. Then when they walked east, they turned from east facing west now. Vamru, they said, our great-great-grandfathers that were in this very place during the times of Bais Rishon, they were kofrin, says Rashi. They turned their backs to the Heichel, to the base of Migdash. And they faced east. They bowed down to the sun. But us, our eyes are toward you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hayushonin, they'd actually repeat this. Anu leka v'leka einenu. I think it's leka, right? We're facing you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what they would say. This would be the whole procedure, the Seder of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So now the Gemara says further. It says that Tanu Rabbanan, Mishal Ra Simchas Beis HaShoeva, La Ra Simchas Miyamava. And then on top of that, Mishal Ra Yushalayim, a person who never saw Yerushalayim in its great beauty, grand and glory, never saw a beautiful city in their life. And Mishal Ra Beis Hamikdash b'Binyano L'Ra Binyan Mefur Me'olam. One who did not see the building, the construction of the Beis Hamikdash, has never seen a beautiful building in his life. So Mahi, what was so beautiful about the Beis Hamikdash? And Rashi, the question really is, which Beis Hamikdash is he referring to? Is he referring to Bais Rishon of Shlomo, or when Nehemiah fixed it up, or is he referring to Hurdos? So which stage of the Beis Hamikdash were we referring to? So Amar Abaye says, V'i Seimra, a Rav Chista, Zeb Binyan Hordas. Hordas made a beautiful binyan. The Beis HaMikdash was described in the first paragraph about Basra. But my Bonav, with what did he build it to make it so beautiful? So Amar Rava, Ba'avnei Shesha, he used some type of marble. Umirma. Rashi says the difference is the shisha or shaisha is a type of color that's not white or black, rather it's a greenish type of marble. And Mirma is a white marble. So you use the green and white marble to make the base of Mikdash. Ikdam, others say, Babne Shisha Kochla Umirmir. So some blue and white types of shades of marble. Apik Shafa of the Isle Shafa. So it had, it was rows of rocks, and it was indented. One row here, one row out, one row in, one out. Why did they have it indented? Part of the marble. Ki Echa de la Kabel Sida. Because they wanted to place a layer of plaster in that indentation, and tavar l'mishari b'dahava. They wanted to then have a layer of gold. This way, it'd be marble, gold, marble, and gold. So that's what they were doing. So everything was set up to place this the sit in gold there. And however, once they saw that the indentations of the marble, Amrulov Chachamim said, Rabbanan said, shafku, leave it as is without the gold. The hocha shapir tre. This is actually prettier the way it is now. The mischaze kadusa diyama. Which Rashi explains is referring to what looks like waves. It had some illusion. It looked like the marbles were moving back and forth like waves, and therefore they said, keep it like that. That's even prettier. So what's the reason? So it could be simply it was a nice nice illusion that drew up people's eyes to it, but it sounded like something deeper that was going on here. So what was the reason why waves are so chashiv? So the Chida explains that the reason why it was so chashiv because it reminds us of the waves of the Tchelis, and Tchelis to Yam, and the Yam to their Kiyah to the Kisei HaKavod, reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod, just like Tchelis reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod, the waves as well. That's the Chida suggestion. My own personal suggestion is that maybe the waves represents ups and downs in lives. When people come to the base Mikdash looking for Chizik, when they go through different struggles in life, the waves remind us that they're the downs in life, but when the waves go down, they always come back up. And so you read Dilat Tzarech Aliyah, maybe that's a different type of explanation why the waves are so chashiv, and they left the waves there in place. Now the Gemara says further around seven wide lines down. The Gemara says Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. This is the famous story of in Alexandria. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishlo Ra Duflustin Shachzandria. Person who never saw the Greek word rashes like the double. It's a double lashon. All the different rows of Alexandria Shemitzrayim in the big shul there. Lo Ra Bechvoldan Sheisol never was able to observe and to appreciate the great honor and respect that Klai Yisrael had when they had big gatherings. So what happened? What was in this particular shul? So Gemara describes here, and there's so many halachas actually learned from this particular story here. So Amru, they said, Kimin besilke gedola hayisa, stav lifnim bistav. It had this big, it was like a huge palace, and there were rows upon rows and couches going around the whole huge shul. Pamim shayuba, sometimes they had shishim ribo, 600,000 over 600,000 rows of people. Kiflaim kiyotze Mitzrayim, double the amount of men that left Mitzrayim, 1.2 million people. There were 71 rows of chairs of golden chairs. Kineged shivim v'achas zekeinim, the 71 members of Sanhedrin. V'chol achas v'achas ein pchusa me'asar v'achad riboy kikari zav. And each one was no less than 210,000 amounts of gold. So these are huge golden chairs and couches that went across there. Before you go ahead here, look at Tosas here in the bottom here, the last Tosas. So it says there are 71 rows of golden couches. So he asks Tosas, Perish Sanhedrin, Tema. The time of Parakam of the Sanhedrin, the first mission Sanhedrin tells us, Sanhedrin Gedola Hayusa Shal Shem V'yachad, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'shivim is only 70 people, not 71. So this is a raya against Rabbi Yehuda. Vim Kain, Havalei Lassos Rak Shivim, Ketadrios, like Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda held, there was a 71st person in Sanhedrin, he was called the Mufla, but he wasn't part of the actual minion, so he agrees there are 71 people in Sanastira. This is Rabbi Yehuda himself saying this, so how did he say 71? If he paskins in the mission Sanhedrin, it's 70. It must be there's a 71st person who was not part of the Cheshbon, but he was still part of the Sanhedrin somehow. The Gemara says further now, Ubima shel eitz b'emsa'asiyah, the bima was in the center of the shul. So this is also a big discussion. Why is there a bima in the center of the shul? Ramah brings it down to the halacha, the end of Siman Kuf, Nun, and Or HaChaim. You have to have it in the center of the base medrash. Why? So people could hear better. If it's in the front, people in the back can hear. So have it in the center so people can hear Kriyas HaTorah. The Chassam Tovar says a different reason why there's a bima in the center of the base Knesset. That's because the shul is modeled after the base of Migdash. And just like there's an Aron in the Kodesh Kedoshim, so too there's a bima which represents the Mizbech, which is why he explains on Sukkot we go around with Hoshanas around the bima, because that's like the Arava, they go around the Mizbech and the base of Migdash. The bima must be in the center. Nafkamin is, can you ever change it to the front? So according to the hearing, he can't hear it. So if it's a small shul, l'chaver, you could put the beam in the front. But if it's based on model after the base of Migdash, you couldn't change it. But there's a third reason why not to, and that's because we don't change Minhagim. The Chassam Sofer, among many others who had to fight against the Reform and conservatives, who put the beam in the front, the Be'er Lacha speaks a great, not great length, but he speaks on that simon, how against it we are. People should not change from the minhag, and the bima should always remain in the center of the Beis Knesset. Further now, the Gemara says again, bima shel eitz bemtzi asa, the chazna knesses would omid aleva sujin biyado, he'd stand in the bima, and he kind of wave the flag. He's a cave in shigil, anos amen, when it came to say amen, he waved the flag, and halaf main of besuda v'chalam onim amen. They begin to wave, because if you're so far back, imagine a huge building, 1.2 million, there are no microphones there. How do you hear when the amen is? So he waved the flag to tell him when to answer amen. Now there's another shiloh, there's something called an amen yesoma, an orphaned amen, which means you can't answer an amen if it's disconnected from the bracha. So if I'm in the back row, I can't hear the bracha. How can I say an amen to an unknown bracha? So the Rishonim give different answers. One answer is, amen yisoma is only true if I'm trying to be yotzei the bracha. Not being yotzei, I thought it was necessary. He's going through chazar sashatz, so you can answer amen as long as I, even though I don't hear the bracha, because I'm not trying to be yotzei. Another answer is that amen yisoma is only when you don't know which bracha you're reciting amen on. But here they knew, they followed along. So, the first amen's on this bracha. The next amen's on this bracha. Even though they didn't hear it, as long as they're following along and knowing which amen, the bracha, which bracha the amen's going on, that would not be considered an amen yisoma. Okay, let's go back there now. Where it says further, and then, where are we now? V'la yoshin mu'ravin, they would not sit mixed together, intermingled. El zahavim v'fnei atzman, the goldsmiths would sit amongst the goldsmiths, I mean the job, not the last name, but the jobs of the goldsmiths. The kasafin, b'fe'atzin, the silversmiths would sit among the semtaf. Each industry, each business in their own section. Now, pachim, b'fe'atzman, these were people who dealt with brass or copper or something. The tarsayim, this was copper. B'fe'atzman, the gardiyim, b'fe'atzman, those who would weave and maybe tailors. Uksha'ani nichna sham, when Ani would walk in, hayamakir ba'ali umana, so he'd see his section where he should go with his jobs. V'nifla sham, he'd go to that area. So that's where they would all stick to their businesses. So Amar Abaye says, V'chulo katlinu achzanjus mokhtin. And they were all murdered by achzanjus mokhtin, the big Russia. So my time at Yanshu, why were they punished? Why did he kill them all? Why did he wipe them out? So Gemara explains, Mishum de Avri ahai cry, they violated the pasuk we read a couple weeks ago. Lo so sivin loshu bederach hazeh od. Don't return back to on this path. Don't go back to Mitzrayim. It says, "Lo Yoshev es ha'am Mitzrayim." Don't return back. Don't live there. V'inu hader also. They came back, and therefore they were punished. Now, this, of course, led to many, many shilas in halacha. The Rambam, amongst other gedolim, lived in Egypt for many years. How is it allowed? The pasuk says it wasn't allowed. The Gemara says here that the 1.2 million men plus women and children were all wiped out because they returned to Mitzrayim. How was it allowed to live in Mitzrayim? So the Rambam says you weren't allowed to. He violated an Isser every single day of his life, according to some understandings. He violated this Isser. He had no choice. He was stuck there. Others say that the Isser, the Yerim, has his chiddush. That the Isser of living in Mitzrayim is only when you go back on that very derech you came. Lo so sivin lashuv baderech hazeod. The path that Klai Yisrael came up to the 42 Masos, that's the Israel to return back in that same path. But if you go a different way down, seemingly they went down a different way, that's not subject to the Israel. Others say it's only Usher to live there forever, but the plan to return back would not be Usher. To go visit, certainly be okay. Others say the Israel is only true when we're living in Eretz Yisrael, when that's an option, we're living in Eretz Yisrael. But when we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, when we're in Gullus, then there's no Israel involved. So many different explanations as to why the Rambam and others were able to live in Mitzrayim. And others say they were not allowed to live. They were subject to the same exact Israel that they had here in the Gemara in Sukkah. Let's finish off the daf now. The Gemara now says, Kiyasa, when Alexandria Mokhtim came to Mitzrayim, Ashkechinu Dehavakar B'Sifra. He came, they were in shul, they were reading the Pasuk actually, at the end of Dvarim, Yisa Hashem Alecha Goy Merachok, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to lift up a Goy from far away. And the end of the Pasuk says, Mikse Ha'aretz Kashe Yida HaNesh, he's going to fly like an eagle. So that's the Pasuk that was being recited as Alexandria Mokhtin walked into the shul. So Amar, he says, Michli, let's understand for a moment, Hahu Gavra, referring to himself, this person, me, I came here, by Lemese Svinta Basa Yoma, I wanted to come here in 10 days. I expected the trip from where I was to take 10 days. However, Dali Zika, the wind blew, Vasi Svinta Bechamisha Yoma, it took me only 5 days to get here. I flew like an eagle, this very puzzle that they're saying here, that Yisa Hashem Alecha Goya, Goy lifted from far away, like a Nesher, that's Mamash what happened. He took this as a simon that he was supposed to come here, and therefore, Nafla Layu Bekalinu, he killed and wiped them all out. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We spoke about the continued machlokas about Ikashir Bepeh, or Bekli, we thought maybe it's dependent on who were the ones playing the instruments, were the above them, were the Levim were Yisraelim, so now everybody agrees the Ikar Shir Bepeh. The machlokas is whether or not you could learn from one who sang or played the instruments. Could you learn there? Could he be Liyichas or Lemaiser? Depends whether it's Avadim, Yisraelim, or Levim. And then we said that Rabbi Yirmi has a whole other take on the machlokas that everybody agrees that the Shir Kli Shir is Docha for Kli Shir Shakarban. Machlok is only by a Simchas Beishreva, whether it's Docha Shabbos or Yantiv. Then we brought at the end the two Psukim to support either opinion, whether Ikar Shir Bepeh or Bekli. Then we had a long Mishnah about the whole Seder of the Simchas Beishreva. We discussed in that Mishnah. Then we said, one who never saw the Simcha, Beishreva never saw a Simcha. One who never saw Yushalayim never saw a real city. And one who never saw the Beis HaMikdash never saw a beautiful building. What was so beautiful about it is because when Hordus was making it, he left some indentations with the intent of leaving gold. But they said, leave it that way because it has waves with this illusion. It looked much nicer that way. And then we had the whole mice. We just finished discussing about the Shul in Alexandria with the beam in the middle and 1.2 million people and the 71 rows of golden chairs. And finally, they were killed because they were not supposed to live in Yushalayim. Mitzrayim, they were supposed to live in Yushalayim. And therefore, Alexandria moked and wiped them out. And they were punished for living there. Okay, we'll stop here, everybody. Have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.